This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another deadly fire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, January 10th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
A malfunctioning space heater is blamed for a massive fire in a New York City apartment building that's taken at least 19 lives, including 9 children.
Chicago public schools are closed again today because the teachers' union doesn't like COVID protocols that are in place.
From the entertainment world, comedian Bob Saget, best known as the widowed dad on the TV show Full House, has died suddenly at 65.
And tips for getting a bigger and quicker tax refund, now considering the end of the child tax credit payments.
There were a lot of folks who were depending on this money, and now it's gone. And they may well need that cash infusion from a tax refund early on to make up for what would have come in January 15th and what would have come in February 15th.
Andrew Keschner at MarketWatch with tax tips for this filing season. Another horrific fire in a big American city. Just days after 12 people were killed in a blaze in Philadelphia, at least 19 people have died following a fire in New York. 9 of yesterday's victims were children. It happened in a duplex unit in a 19-story building in the Bronx. At least 32 people were transported to hospitals in life-threatening conditions. Resident Delaney Rodriguez, who lives on the 12th floor.
When we was going down the stairs, we see a body laying down and dogs dead. We couldn't do anything. And as we was going, they was trying to rescue more people.
Fire Department Commissioner Daniel Nigro said the fire appeared to have started from a malfunctioning electric space heater in a bedroom. The door to the duplex was left open, allowing the fire to spread to other parts of the building. Smoke went all the way to the top floors, leaving many people trapped in their apartments. It's New York City's worst fire since the 1990 blaze at the Happy Land nightclub in the Bronx, where 87 people were killed. Here's a stunning stat about the spread of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. At the latest pace, 8 Americans are testing positive every second, with more than 700,000 new cases per day. Meanwhile, Chicago public schools canceled classes for the 4th school day in a row today as Mayor Lori Lightfoot and the Chicago Teachers Union continue negotiating on a potential reopening of city schools. Mayor Lightfoot.
And we've spent hundreds of millions of dollars to make our schools safe. They are safe. We've got the data to demonstrate that. We've got to get the teachers union to get real and get serious about getting back into in-person learning.
Meanwhile, the NHL has postponed 2 games scheduled for tonight because of COVID issues. The Tampa Bay Lightning's game at the New Jersey Devils and the Ottawa Senators game at the Edmonton Oilers were postponed. Also, a trio of health experts commenting in the medical journal JAMA say political leaders must start talking about what level of COVID is acceptable. One wrote that a variant that's widespread but causes little disease could be something everyone could put up with, like the flu. Stunning news from the entertainment world. Comedian Bob Saget, the star of TV's Full House and host of America's Funniest Home Videos, has died. He was 65. Mr. Saget was found unresponsive in his hotel room at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando, Florida, late yesterday afternoon. There were no signs of foul play or drug use. He was best known for his role as the widowed and neurotic father, Danny Turner, in ABC's Full House, which ran from 1987 to 1995.
I wish someone would share their pancake with me.
Daddy.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm so proud of you. And I won't even have to chew it.
Mr. Saget had been traveling the country on a stand-up tour called I Don't Do Negative. John Stamos, the actor who played opposite Mr. Saget on Full House, expressed his grief on Twitter. He wrote, quote, I am broken. I will never have another friend like him. He added, I love you so much, Bobby. What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. As soaring demand makes lab-based and at-home COVID tests hard to come by, many people are forsaking tests, leaving them unable to determine whether they're infected and potentially exposing others. And those who manage to get at-home rapid tests rarely report the results to health departments. More from Christine Maiduk, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Christine, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think what people are finding, amid this Omicron surge and amid, people coming back from holiday travel and getting back to work and school, is that if they are trying to take tests for precautionary reasons, or if they are trying to take tests because they may have been exposed over the holiday with this rapid spread, they're finding it very hard to come across tests, whether that's at-home kits that you can get at the pharmacy, or if that's appointments for a PCR test. I've talked to multiple people who had to wait in hours-long lines to get a PCR test in person. People who have gone to multiple pharmacies, there's signs up in lots of pharmacies just saying, we're out of tests, don't ask. Yeah. So it has been a really difficult thing for people to find out what their status is, whether or not they've been infected at a time when the virus is raging again.
What are you supposed to do then?
Well, honestly, I mean, I talked to one public health official in Santa Clara, another in Los Angeles County, and essentially, they said it's not ideal that we can't test everyone that wants to get tested right now. But in the face of that, since you know that there is a huge surge going on right now, that it's likely that if you are feeling sick, you could be infected with COVID, the best possible thing is, if you've been exposed or if you're feeling sick, don't go anywhere. Don't see anyone. Stay home. Even if you can't get a test, just assume that you're sick. And that's kind of a hard thing to swallow for people 2 years into this pandemic.
Yeah. We're speaking with Christine Maiduk, reporter for The Wall Street Journal based in Los Angeles. Her story is called Frustrated They Can't Get COVID Tests, Americans Go About Their Lives. Are we going to catch up when it comes to demand?
I mean, I think at this point, experts expect, at least in Los Angeles County, for the testing situation to get better in the next couple of weeks. But I don't think necessarily that means, things are going to get better overnight. And certainly, there may still not be enough tests for every single person who wants one. I think it'll be a little bit easier to get an appointment in the future. I think with the federal government stepping in and trying to get supplies up as well of the at-home tests, that may improve. But that said, I mean, given that COVID-19 from the beginning has been a disease that can spread with asymptomatic people, public health experts have always said, we've never really truly known just how many cases are out there or just how bad it is, because there's plenty of people who may be getting sick or passing on the disease that aren't even getting tested.
Wow. Did somebody say in your story with regards to tests, we're actually no better off than we were 2 years ago?
One of the experts did say that, it's really some shades of 2020 at this point, and that it does seem like, our testing capacity is really paling to the demand right now. So that is pretty, a lot of the people that I talked to who are trying to get tests really did not understand from a consumer's perspective why we haven't learned more in the last 2 years about how to keep up with testing.
Even, you referenced Southern California, Orange County, Los Angeles County are highly populated areas. But there was even a boyfriend, girlfriend, from Bozeman, Montana, right? Unpopulated compared to Southern California. They struggled.
That's true. And honestly, I mean, I think what's interesting is that, I talked to one public health director in Los Angeles County, Barbara Ferrer, who said, some of this is a national problem. We didn't have enough, testing manufacturers to produce the number of tests that we might need for a surge like this. However, you also never know what messages are going to resonate with people. You might say, please get your booster, please get your vaccine, please, and that may not resonate. But all of a sudden you say, please get tested before the holiday if you're going to gather, and everybody wants to test. And so I think, you know, even in places like Bozeman, where people were, you know, this person I talked to was hosting her family that was coming from all over, including Los Angeles and Portland. And she, you know, started to feel sick and tested, and then only had one test among six people and was trying to find tests at the last minute and just couldn't find them.
Thanks, Christine. Christine Majduk, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
10 adults and 9 children are dead after a 5-alarm fire ripped through a building in New York City yesterday. The fire, stemming from a malfunctioning portable space heater, started around 11 a.m. at a 19-story residential building in the Bronx. The blaze was extinguished 2 hours later by some 200 firefighters. This man lived in the building.
I'm thinking about people. I don't want to anybody's life stay in this. I don't want to hear that. Say anybody dead in this fire.
At least 63 people were injured, many suffering from severe smoke inhalation.
Number two.
U.S. and Russian officials are gathering in Geneva today to kick off a series of high-stakes talks as tensions remain higher than ever over Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told ABC Russian President Putin can choose diplomacy or more sanctions.
Economic, financial, and other consequences, as well as NATO almost certainly having to reinforce its positions on its eastern flank near Russia, as well as continuing to provide defensive assistance to Ukraine.
Russia has been building up its military presence at its border with Ukraine in recent months, but denies it's planning to invade the country.
Number three.
Students in Chicago public schools are out of school for a fourth day today as city and district leaders negotiate with the teachers union over the safety of in-person schooling in the nation's third largest district. Kids and families have been stuck in the middle since Wednesday when teachers voted to go remote after 2 days of in-person instruction. Then the city said that wasn't an option and cut off remote schooling altogether. Negotiations continued over the weekend, but the two sides failed to reach an agreement. Republican Senator Ron Johnson, one of former President Trump's most ardent backers, says he will seek re-election in battleground Wisconsin, breaking his promise not to seek a third term. The race is sure to be one of the most hotly contested in the country next year in purple Wisconsin. And a judge today ordered that tennis player Novak Djokovic be released from detention, overturning the Australian government's cancellation of his visa and clearing the way for him to compete at the Australian Open. The judge quashed last week's decision by authorities to cancel Djokovic's visa on the grounds that he wasn't exempt from rules requiring travelers to Australia to be fully vaccinated against COVID.
Well, that was some drama, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Meanwhile, Capitol Hill negotiations on a massive social safety net bill moved in fits and starts during 2021, and there's no resolution in sight. The political wrangling in Washington is one reason you may want to move briskly with your income tax returns in 2022. Here's why from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what should we consider?
Things like the child tax credit payments that went from July to December. They have come to an end, barring any sort of action from Congress, and we'll see how that goes with the negotiations on Capitol Hill. But there were a lot of folks who were depending on this money, and now it's gone. And they may well need that cash infusion from a tax refund early on to make up for what would have come in January 15th and what would have come in February 15th and so on. So that's like last year at this time, kind of these pandemic pressures on getting your tax refund quick.
Yeah. You should be keeping your child tax credit paperwork. Is that what you said?
Yes. So the IRS is going to be sending out They're going to be sending out letters, and this is formally called Letter 6419. But what this is saying is, hey, this is how much we paid you from July to December. And so hold on to this for your records when you claim the rest of your child tax credit. Because what Congress did is they increased the amount of the payoff, but they said, we're going to give you half over these 6 months, we're going to give you the rest at tax time. So in order to know how much is due to a family, they need to know how much that they have given you already. And if there's going to be any sort of discrepancy or they overpaid, they're going to take that out of your refund.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And the same goes for, it feels like an eternity ago, but back in, you know, March when the third round of stimulus checks came along, they're going to be sending a letter, same idea, saying this is how much we paid you. And if there's a, if they need to pay more, that it'll all get squared out at tax time.
Got it. We're speaking with personal finance reporter Andy Keschner at MarketWatch. He's written a piece about the quickest ways to get a tax refund. Child care expenses also from last year.
Yeah, this is, there was a lot of focus on the child tax credit, but the maybe perhaps lesser known tax credit related to children and upbringing and raising is the child and dependent care credit. And that, but that is what that essentially does. The idea of that is giving tax credit money for your child care purposes so that you can work. And what Congress did there is they also made that a much more generous payout. And so they, for example, the credit can go up to $4,000 for one child and $8,000 for two or more children. And that's up from just over $1,000 for one child and over $2,000 for two or more. So, you know, hold on to those receipts. There are income, you know, requirements and so on. So, but it's important to hold on to those receipts and remember that this could be a very valuable break this year.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Don't forget to check out a podcast of our program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Uncomfortable work attire is a thing of the past. If you're still trapped in suits and ties, make it your New Year's resolution to go casual at work. But don't dress down. Get some casual style that fits anywhere. That's what Cuts Clothing is designed for, to fit you and any occasion perfectly. That's how I feel about my t-shirts from Cuts. They look and feel great. Buttery soft. They move with me whenever I'm at the mic or at the gym. And while I could go on about their custom-engineered Pika Tri-Blend fabric, you really have to wear it to understand how soft it is. It's the ultimate blend of high-quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The result is what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. And now it's worth even more because it's an even better value. Cuts Clothing is work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S. cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. Start your day with the facts. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, January 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: 19 people dead in a high-rise fire in New York City. Public school canceled in Chicago for a fourth day in a row as a teachers' union dispute over COVID continues. The U.S. and Russia have begun high-level talks in Geneva regarding Ukraine. Actor and comedian Bob Saget has died at 65. Sunday Night Football: Raiders over the Chargers in OT to get a playoff spot. Novak Djokovic reinstated for the Australian Open, and the speed skater who gave up an Olympic spot to ensure a teammate would qualify. That story in about 20 minutes. If all you knew about the economy in 2021 was that hirings were through the roof, you'd think it was a banner year. Add two more data points. The unemployment rate fell by more than 2 full points from 6.3% to 4.2%, and incomes grew by a sturdy 4.8%. So why doesn't it feel like things are booming? In-depth analysis from Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, how do you see it?
By standard economic measures, the economy did terrifically in 2021. We had job creation of almost 6 million new jobs. So if you just looked at those things, you would think, wow, the economy is really booming. But of course, it doesn't feel that way. And President Biden's approval rating is actually very low. It's in the low 40% range, 42, 43%. So what's going on here? Two things. Basically, inflation has surprised everybody during the last 12 months. And of course, we're not through the COVID pandemic yet. So if Biden could get a break on inflation and we could finally kind of wrestle COVID to the ground, I think his standing would improve quite a lot in 22. But those are open questions. And so far, those two things have been way more problematic than just about anybody expected.
Clarify, if you would, your opening stat about the 6 million jobs. Those are new jobs that have been created, or those are ones that were lost during the pandemic and refilled?
Well, that's the total increase in employment during the year 2021. A lot of that is recovery from the pandemic employment, or from the pandemic downturn. And there's always this question, Gordon, you and I have talked about this before, does the president deserve credit for that? And honestly, Biden does not really deserve credit for that big improvement in total employment. But, you know, presidents typically get credit or blame for what happens when they're in charge.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His story is called This Year in Bidenomics, Underachievement. So relating to the headline of the piece, then, the underachievement, is that to say that he could be doing more? Or is it, as you pointed out before, the president gets little credit for things that go right and little blame for what goes wrong?
I mean, Biden has bungled a couple of things. He did a poor job of setting expectations for employment, for inflation, for example. I mean, he said over last summer, he said, inflation is going to be temporary. And of course, it has not been temporary, or I guess it depends how you define temporary. But, you know, 7, 8, 9 months doesn't feel like temporary to people who are paying more for heating their homes and for gasoline and for food and things like that. You know, he also told us we were going to have a summer of freedom and COVID was going to be over, and it wasn't. So that's the sense in which Biden is underachieving. If you're just looking at the performance of the economy during the last 12 months, or let's say since Biden took office, the economy has actually, on the whole, done really well. But we're not through COVID yet. People still feel gloomy. People still are uncomfortable traveling, going to some people don't want to go to stores. We've got the huge Omicron breakout nobody saw coming. So this looking forward for Biden, if he can get the country feeling like it's somewhat back to normal, I think his standing in the polls could improve quite a lot by the 2022 midterm elections in November, which is the next big point on the electoral calendar that matters. But Biden needs to do a better job of setting expectations. And that's probably one of the important lessons for him going into 22.
Probably requires him to do some salesmanship, I would imagine, too. And I'm not sure, and I'm not playing politics, I'm not sure that's his strength.
I think you're right about that. And that can also be a double-edged sword, Gordon, because President Obama actually had this problem in the first couple of years of his presidency. If you just go around citing statistics and you tell people that they are better off than they feel like they are, people are, you know, voters are going to say, you know, you're not living down among the people, man. You need to understand what it's like out here in the real world. I think Biden, ironically, might get a break in 2022. As legislative activity in Congress begins to quiet down. I mean, we're still going to have some efforts to get a Build Back Better bill during the first couple of months. But after that, members of Congress don't want to do much during an election season. They want to go out and campaign for re-election. I think as that quiets down, that might actually be a good thing for Biden, because Democrats in Congress have honestly, they've looked somewhat inept, because, hey, they can't count votes among their own party. There's infighting among Democrats. They can't get all Democrats unified to support certain things. So the less of that, the better it is for Biden. And he may benefit as things quiet down in Washington in, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6 months.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Meanwhile, disappointing data Friday. The U.S. economy added far fewer jobs than expected, just 199,000 in December. The unemployment rate, however, fell to 3.9%.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, the NFL season is finally over, and it's celebration time for the teams that still have life into next week, which includes the Pittsburgh Steelers, moving on to the playoffs after winning in overtime on a field goal by kicker Chris Boswell. And what better way to celebrate than a free sandwich? Starting today, anyone with the name Chris or Boswell will get a free sandwich at the Pittsburgh area Permanente Brothers chain. Now make sure to bring your wallet, though. All Chris's and Boswell's need to show proper identification to verify their identity to get a free sandwich. There's also one other perk. If your name is Chris Boswell and you kick that game-winning field goal, you get free sandwiches for life.
Nice. That's a good promotion. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Good stuff. What exciting times all of a sudden for Pittsburgh.
Yes, I haven't had the pleasure of having the Permanente Brothers. That's the one with the French fries on the sandwich, right? That's what they're famous for, I believe.
I think you're right. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be clear.
Yes, definitely sounds up my alley. And speaking of handheld foods, burritos are a favorite for many, but the next time you're downing that amazing concoction of meat, cheese, and veggies, you might want to give pause to the thanks to the man who invented it for us, Kim Jong-il. That's right, the deceased former North Korean dictator is being given credit by the country for inventing burritos, which they call wheat wraps. A statement was put out by North Korea's propaganda arm making this bizarre claim, along with video showing citizens devouring the food, which it says they enjoy eating with their tea in the winter. Many, as you might imagine, are skeptical about this. For starters, they claim that the dictator invented the burrito just 11 years ago, in 2011, meaning that all burritos you had before that would be null and void. Now, putting that aside, defectors from North Korea say that the ingredients to make a burrito can't even be found in the impoverished country. Also, the New York Post points out that the word burrito first appeared in a Mexican dictionary back in 1895. Of course, this isn't the first Western food the dictatorship has claimed ownership of, with Kim also once claiming that he invented the hamburger.
Right. Well, the thing is, I know Mexico lays claim to inventing the burrito back in at least 1895, but Kim Jong-il also created Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, so there's that tie-in. Yeah.
Yes. Wait. Yeah. Waiting for that missive to come out later on today.
That's unbelievable. And on a serious note, like the UN, I think, says like nearly half of North Koreans are malnourished. So I think there's a lot of eye rolling going on in North Korea. This might be something, too, that Giants coach Joe Judge refers to as a clown show organization, meaning North Korea.
Right. Yeah. Waiting for that press conference this afternoon from the coach.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Mike. What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT, more security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. A well-stocked emergency kit can be useful to have amid winter storm warnings. According to Ready.gov, a good emergency supplies kit should have 3 days' worth of water and food per person. That's 1 gallon per person per day. The kit should also include items like a battery-powered radio, flashlight, first aid kit, extra batteries, and backup cell phone chargers. Also, can openers, maps, basic tools, garbage bags, and duct tape. The Red Cross also recommends making sure that there's a 7-day supply of necessary medications and copies of important personal documents. Of course, people expecting to travel in cold weather should also pack emergency blankets, hats, gloves, warm socks, and a change of clothes. Drivers should double-check fluid levels for power steering, brakes, windshield washer, and oil. It may also be necessary to add windshield washer fluid that has an antifreeze agent in it. Cars can also be stocked with emergency shovels, ice scrapers, and even cat litter, which can be used to give tires traction on icy or snowy roads. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hospitals are working today to save the lives of multiple people gravely injured by smoke in a fire that killed 19 people, including 9 children, in a Bronx apartment building yesterday. Dozens of people are hospitalized and as many as 13 are in critical condition. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says it was the deadliest fire in the city in 3 decades.
This is a horrific, painful moment for the city of New York.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she plans to establish a victims' compensation fund aimed at providing new housing and covering burial costs for affected families.
Number two.
The Supreme Court's conservative majority on Friday sounded skeptical of the Biden administration's sweeping COVID vaccination or testing requirements for private businesses. The justices questioned the Labor Department's health rules as well as a federal vaccine mandate for healthcare workers during oral arguments that lasted about 3 hours. The court is set to reconvene at 10 a.m. this morning.
Number three.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is likening Republican efforts to impose tough voting restrictions and change state election laws to the January 6th insurrection. She told CBS lawmakers need to pass the Freedom to Vote Act.
What the Republicans are doing across the country is really a legislative continuation of what they did on January 6th, which is to undermine our democracy, to undermine the integrity of our elections.
Following the 2020 election, some Republican state lawmakers began introducing tougher voting measures that critics say would make it more difficult for some groups to vote. Bob Saget, the actor-comedian known for his role as beloved single dad Danny Tanner on the sitcom Full House, and as the wisecracking host of America's Funniest Home Videos, has died at the age of 65. The Orange County, Florida Sheriff's Office was called yesterday about an unresponsive man in a hotel room in Orlando. Detectives say they found no signs of foul play or drug use. Saget was in Florida as part of his I Don't Do Negative comedy tour. The Golden Globe Awards, which regularly draw 18 million TV viewers, was reduced to a live blog last night for its 79th edition. Netflix's gothic western The Power of the Dog was named Best Picture, while West Side Story also won several big awards. Other big winners included Succession, Hacks, Ted Lasso, and Mayor of Easttown.
Is it really an award if it comes through a live blog?
Maybe not.
Thank you, Jen. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. There were two races that would close out the final day of the U.S. Olympic long track speed skating trials at the Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee. But there was one Olympic gold medal gesture. USA Today says without even getting on the ice, Brittany Bowe wins the day, the week, and the month. The U.S. speed skating star relinquished her 500-meter spot to teammate, friend, and skate sister, Erin Jackson. Bowe will still compete in her third Olympics in the 1,000 and 1,500 after skating so well this weekend, but now so will Jackson. In a stumble, Jackson finished third at the trials Friday after a stutter step that knocked her off her rhythm. She's the world's fastest 500 skater based on the World Cup series, but these trials earned spots on the team. Bowe, who's 33, and Jackson, who's 29, go way back when Jackson was a good foot shorter than Bowe and just 10 years old inline skating. Jackson says it would be awesome for both of us to be able to stand on the top of the podium in our races. The Beijing Olympics begin in 25 days. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.